For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
I guess I get to choose between got it and leave meeting. Looks like I chose got it. Welcome, everyone. It's great to have you here and see you all online. I am Asian Nancy Easton, and I am very pleased to have the opportunity to be here for our session today. Which coincidentally I have the opportunity because I had to lead it, but I'm trying to lead it as, well, I conceive of this session as an opportunity to let go of busyness. So I'm trying to enact that in my own practice in this session. Although certainly over the past couple Zazen periods, my mind has found ways to, you know, make itself busy, and possibly yours has as well. But I wanted us to, the title of my talk today is You Are Here. And I got this off of one of the many signs that I saw when I was hiking in Yellowstone National Park last week. Because every time you come up to a sign, it says, You Are Here. And it's always in a different place, you know? So, which I think is like very apt for us. Someone once told me that the Zen phrase nowhere standing can also be split up differently so that it's now here standing. So here we are standing or sitting here now and trying to let go of our busy minds and our busy day-to-day life. And I think sometimes we cling to busyness as a way of constructing the self that, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And it's not always I'm going to do it like I'm carrying myself forward, but we can let things bully us into I have to do this and I have to do that. And all of a sudden, things have taken over and we lose our maybe Zazen mind. And that's okay. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that, because if we didn't do that, we would not get essential things done that we need to do. And we wouldn't, even if we could do those things in the moment, we wouldn't be able to plan for anything. So there's nothing wrong with all that busyness. But one of the wonderful things about a sesshin is that so much of our environment is constructed for us by the forms and by the schedule, that we can let go of some of that busyness. Or at least, if we can't let it go, we can at least notice that it's not as necessary as it seemed. So I was, in thinking about this, I was mindful of the koan from the Book of Serenity, Case 21, which is called Yunyan Sweeps the Ground. And for, I probably everybody knows the gist of this, but I'll just read it anyway. It says, as Yunyan was sweeping the ground, Daowu, his Dharma brother, said, too busy. Yunyan said, you should know there is one who isn't busy. Daowu said, if so, then there's a second moon. Yunyan held up the broom and said, which moon is this? So I'm not going to get too deeply into that either. I just really wanted it to remind us of, you know, the one who is not busy. And so today, maybe we can find, that place of letting go of our mundane affairs and just attending to our practice. So, you know, while Buddhism and Zen have lots of texts and things that we can study intellectually, I would really like to encourage everyone today to just take the backward step, turn around the light to shine within, and just be present with your own life today. we will be reading something in just a moment, but you know, all of the things that we may read or study within our tradition, all of them, everything that we learn about intellectually about Zen and about Buddhism are actually observable phenomena for us in this very life. If we're able to, you know, cultivate stillness enough to allow ourselves to see them. So that's what I wish for us all today, is that we are able to get in touch with that stillness and allow it to deepen in your life so that you can observe some of the things that we read about, well, not being busy among one. You know, there really are no profound truths that exist apart from your own life. There's no second moon. You know, it's all right here. Everything is here. When you're sweeping, it can be here. When you're, you know, saying it's too busy, it can all be right here. So to support us in this today, I would like us all to take a look at the Fukan Zazengi, which is on page, right in the almost exact middle of your chant book, on page 20. And if you're able to share that for the folks online. Fukan Zazengi is a text from Dogen. Its second subtitle is Universally Recommended Instructions for Zazen. And it really is a set of brief but very comprehensive instructions for how to practice. It's maybe wordier than I would like, and certainly wordier than our Kokyo would like, because we're going to be chanting it today in the middle of the day. But I'll pick out a few things that maybe are things that you can use today to serve as a touch point or even a mantra for yourself. So in paragraph 1, first sentence, the way is originally perfect and all-pervading. How could it be contingent on practice and realization? The way is here. It's here in your life, even if you don't see it. And that's what I'm talking about, is that the way really is here, but we don't always see it. The true vehicle is self-sufficient. What need is there for special effort? We're making maybe enough effort by just bringing yourself here today, just making yourself available for Zazen to let things kind of happen, let things bubble up. The whole body is free from dust. You know, I think what Dogen is saying is all we really need to do is to sit down and just dedicate ourselves to observing our life. You know, moment by moment, as thoughts rise and fall, as sensations change, as the sun moves from over here to over there, just being present for whatever's happening. And Dogen, I think, intensifies this in paragraph 3, where he says, you know, put aside the intellectual practice of investigating words and chasing phrases and learn to take the backward step that turns the light and shines it inward. I think he's saying that, pointing out, you know, maybe that intellectual practices that we can engage in, they really fall short. We can sort of slavishly chase after words, thinking that the meaning for those words is somewhere outside of our experience. You know, instead, try to just shine the light within yourself today. And you may, especially if you happen to be focusing on a particular phrase, you may see ways in which that phrase is illuminated and reflected in your own life experience. Cause that's how we are when we, you know, that's like the saying when, you know, if you're a hammer, everything is a nail. When we have something, a touchstone that we're working with to guide us, it becomes a lot easier to see how our circumstances are mirroring and reflecting that touchstone. So Dogen goes on to, in paragraph 4, you know, get totally granular about what we're doing in terms of how you sit and how you dress and how you, you know, take care of yourself. And I'm not going to get into that. Find your own place. What I mostly want to focus on is paragraph 5 and 6, where he's talking about think of not thinking. You know, once you've adjusted your posture, take a breath and exhale fully. Rock your body right and left and settle into steady, immovable sitting. Think of not thinking. Not thinking, what kind of thinking is that? Beyond thinking. This is the essential art of Zazen. He goes on to say, the Zazen I speak of is not meditation practice. It is simply the Dharma gate of joyful ease, the practice realization of totally culminated enlightenment. I get asked, as a psychologist in a college counseling center, I get asked a lot to lead mindfulness meditation groups. And I'm not opposed to that. I think there's some benefit to that. But what we're doing today is not really mindfulness meditation, where you're trying to focus on, there's so much concentration involved in mindfulness. We're constantly, you know, focusing your attention and maybe labeling your thoughts, labeling your sensations. In Zazen, we're just allowing things to maybe relax a little, maybe allow ourselves to relax a little and remain upright and observant. So maybe that means that sometime a thought's going to come through and you're going to slip with your noticing of it. And that's okay. You know, this, as Taigen likes to say, this practice was intended to be done by human beings, not you know, slavish automatons who are going to do it perfectly. We're going to you know, mess up, and we're going to get distracted, and that's okay, because if your intention is to come back to the present and come back to what is, that's part of what's going on. Part of what's happening is, oh, okay, I'm distracted, and that might you know, that might be instructive for you. I know that there have been times in my practice where I'm, you know, way more distracted or agitated than normal, and it's not something that you have to fix. It's just something to be aware of, that this is where your life is right now. You are here in distraction. He closes that paragraph by saying, you must know that the true Dharma appears of itself, so that from the start, dullness and distraction are struck aside. So even in our distraction, we can be just being aware of that distraction. And being aware of distraction means that you're going to be distracted from being aware of it. But it's okay. You know, just come back to your awareness. In paragraph 8, and this is something that I also really want to highlight, Dogen says, intelligence or lack of it is not an issue. Make no distinction between the dull and the sharp-witted. If you concentrate your efforts single-mindedly, that in itself is wholeheartedly engaging the way. Practice realization is naturally undefiled. Going forward is, after all, an everyday affair. Our, you know, ordinary mind is the way. I think there's a quote from Suzuki Roshi where he says, you know, our Zazen is just our ordinary mind, our ordinary thoughts and activities and feelings, but our Zazen practice puts a frame around it. It gives us, it's hard, it makes it easier to see. You know, when we come and we kind of let go of all the many outside distractions, it gives us the opportunity to look a little bit more closely at ourselves and maybe some of the inside distractions and maybe some of the ways that we are, constructing a self and grasping onto different experiences and thoughts. So what Dogen, I think, is saying is intelligence of, or lack of it, is not an issue. We just need awareness. Our awareness, I think, is always with us, but we don't always notice. I have an aunt who just turned 82, and she has been for the past, I don't know, probably 7 years, experiencing increasing Alzheimer's and is living in a memory care facility. And her daughter told me that her mom, my aunt, said to her recently, just kind of got right in her face and said, "People think I'm not aware." And I was really, really struck by this because she's at a place in her life where she doesn't really remember who many of us are. She cannot very often find the words for what she wants to say. She is struggling with basic, sort of muscle memory even for, how to walk and things like that. But she is, I guess, aware and is really struggling with whatever the constraints are on her physical body around that awareness. I've been listening to a Pema Chodron teaching on, or a series of teachings on death and dying. And one of the things that she mentioned in this teaching is the belief that when we pass away, our last thought determines our next life. And we don't, I think this is something that we don't emphasize in Zen or think about, and I don't really have a comment on whether that's true or not, but it reminded me that our next thought determines this life. So as we sit here and we practice and we train, we're training ourselves to be observant, but we're also allowing ourselves to see on a deeper level some of the teachings of the things that we're learning intellectually. When we think about Zen and Buddhism as being, as the Dalai Lama said, a practice of kindness. We can train ourselves in an ethos of compassion and care. We can actually use our zazen for whatever it is that we want to cultivate. But I hope that you will, take on some of the understanding of Buddhism and train yourself in an ethos of compassion and care. Because where your next thought goes will start to become based on whatever it is that you're training yourself in, and it will bring yourself into the next moment of care and compassion and awareness. We carry our awareness with us all the time. So I'm not really here to tell you how to do it, because I couldn't possibly. Everyone's life is so vast and so unique that I couldn't really possibly tell you how to be Buddha and how to bring Buddha to your life. But I can suggest some things. So as you sit here today, you could spend some time reflecting on, why are you here? What brought you here today? Or, what are you needing from your life and from your practice today? What aspect of your life is bubbling to the surface, asking for care? We sometimes can focus on, what the world outside us needs. And man, the world outside of us is in need of some care. But I think it starts here. It starts with how we are treating ourselves, and how we treat ourselves will just automatically inform how we start to treat others. And others will have an experience with you that maybe is, you know, very transformative for them. Maybe it's something that will, you know, like a little spark of care from your candle that's going to light their candle, and they'll have that spark of care. Often, you know, the answers to our questions or problems are actually right here in front of us. And I think that may be true with the answers to the problems of the world, but we don't see them unless we slow down. So please do take the opportunity to slow down today and maybe pay attention to your preferences, just your ordinary preferences as we go through the day, through that frame of zazen. You know, notice your things that you're liking or disliking, maybe noticing positive or negative or neutral feelings as they arise, and letting yourself just be informed by that. Maybe the things that you are not liking are things that others are not liking, or maybe not. Maybe some of the things that you're not liking, others are liking. You know, there's room there for different possibilities. You could also, in addition to asking yourself why you're here, maybe put some time and energy into reflecting on, you know, who are you? We tend to have a pretty continuous narrative going about, you know, who we are and how others should treat us. But zazen is a time when we can notice that narrative because we have the time and we have the space, you know. So allow yourself to just, you know, become aware of maybe the ideas that you have around who you are, and allow that to inform you. And finally, you could ask yourself, you know, where is here? Where am I? Where are you in your life right now? You know, are you early on in your life? Are you later on in your life? What do you want your life to be about? What is important for you to try to do and cultivate next? And you don't have to come to any conclusions about any of this. This is not like, you know, setting your intention. This is just allowing the possibilities to emerge and allowing yourself to gain a deeper awareness of whatever that is on your cushion today. And I don't know. I think if we all can do that today, that would be my thought of a session well spent, without too much belaboring it. You know, leave some room for joy today and relaxation and definitely, you know, compassion and care. So I believe that is all I'm going to talk about today. Maybe others would like to have a say. Where are you at today? How can our practice today be of assistance? Operators are standing by. Good to see that everyone is so relaxed. I'll get to.
Thank you for bringing up what are we doing here on our cushions. And lately I've been thinking about the words of our Dharma ancestor, Richard Baker Roshi, who has, I've only heard him speak a few times, but every time he's discussed Zazen as an art and a craft. And I wondered, you know, what your take was, given what you've been talking about today, Aishin.
An art and a craft.
Yeah, that there's a craft, there's sort of this posture and breath and body and mind, but there's also an art quality to it.
That's really interesting. Well,
since you're an artist.
I definitely don't have a definitive view on this, but what you're saying makes me think of the way that, but I am also a psychotherapist, and people talk about psychotherapy as being an art and a science, that we learn the science of mind and a science of, you know, influence and all kinds of things, but then we have to learn how to apply it in individual situations so that we can help others, and that is the art for sure. So maybe it's very similar with Zazen. We have to sit here with it, I think, and you know, try some things. You know, maybe try mindfulness meditation, or try breath, try counting your breath. See what happens with that. See what that does. Try labeling your thoughts. See what that does. There's so many different practices that we can try. And those are all fine too. I definitely don't mean to imply that there's one way to do Zazen, because there are lots of different practices. I have a friend who, at least at one time, their practice was when they heard an emergency vehicle coming by, they would, you know, stop, pull over, and bow. And I thought, I just was really struck by the compassion in that practice. So that's something we can do. And it definitely does sensitize you to listening for emergency vehicles. We could take on the practice of, you know, getting up the minute the bell rings, or coming to the zendo the minute we hear the han. It's something that's harder to do when you're in sort of a residential setting where maybe you're caught up in doing something. By the time we get here, we're usually pretty focused on, you know, getting to the zendo, and it's not as difficult. But maybe so a way that you could enact this in your life would be getting up when the minute the alarm rings. Do not hit snooze. Just get up, get out of bed, and see what happens. You know, see where that goes for you. Does it make you more open to responding to things immediately, you know, when they happen? But anyway, I'm getting granular with it, but I like what you're saying about it, about Zazen being an art. So we take these little practices and we learn from them. And our Zazen over time maybe starts to inform who we are. Some of the things that we practice here in the Zendo start to become automatic, like catching ourselves when we notice that our mind has wandered, or getting up promptly when it's time to do something. Do you have thoughts about it? Other thoughts about that?
Oh, there's always thoughts.
Yeah, sure. They never stop.
I'm thinking about creativity and the, you know, there are a lot of technical things and sort of, but there's also imagination that's kind of going beyond what I think should be, or even what I think is. And I don't know, that can be explained, but there's sort of, I've already felt like in our sesshin together, there's, even though we have this form, the spaciousness that you've been offering is a field for creative response, even if we don't look like we're, you know, doing much. Just how we space each other in kin-in, how we respond to the noises and the climate.
Yeah. Well, and everyone will find, maybe that's the, what I'm resonating with in what you're saying is that everyone will find their own way to do that. Mm-hmm. Everyone has their own way to bow. You know, everyone has their own way to navigate their way around the Zendo or through the practice. And actually, we're here today. This was actually supposed to be an outdoor session. We're here today because two of our backup, our original plan, plan A, our permit was revoked, and plan B just was not tenable given the weather conditions. But the thought was a creative one, which was to practice outdoors, where we have a whole different, you know, playpen of things that are happening to, you know, inspire us or... I don't know if those online can hear the motorcycle, but we have a whole panoply of things to, you know, inspire your practice or to pique your curiosity or to bring you joy. You know, it's... I find it easy to feel joy in my practice when I'm sitting outside, and really wanted that to offer that experience to everyone today, and the fates conspired against it. But there are lots of creative ways to practice. You could bring Oriyoki bowls on a camping trip and just practice with, you know, having just enough and eating in a ritualized way. I didn't say this, but, and Hogetsu, you didn't say it either, but I'll say it now. Be creative, you know, be creative with your practice. Let yourself, you know, be wild on your cushion. Be yourself. This practice is not designed to get rid of ourselves. It's just to bring awareness of what's already here. We don't all become cookie cutter people. Oh.
So I just want to say that plan C worked for me.
Okay.
I heard that I wouldn't be able to come to the Zendo coming up from Cleveland yesterday. And I'm delighted to have that opportunity. And also, the resonation of your talk. On the way up, I was traveling with a three-year-old who, of course, started saying, "Are we there yet?" And she's not great with context. So every once in a while, she would say, "Are we here yet?" And I would say, "Yes, here we are outside of Toledo, and there's cornfields." And she was a little confused. That wasn't quite what she was getting at. But to show that, and I was thinking that when we're sitting, our little child is sitting with us, and they're saying, "Are we there yet? Are we?" How do you work with that little child voice in it?
You're reminding me of something that I do. Like, there's sometimes when you have to do, like, you know, 15 minutes of exercise cycling before you can do something else. And I discovered that my tendency is to, like, pedal, 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 pedal as fast as I can with the idea that I'm going to get there sooner. But eventually I'm like, oh no, wait, you actually could slow down. You just have to do the 15 minutes. The way I've worked with that is to just be like, oh yeah, here you go again. Here we are again. You know, kind of, you can, you know, try to be kind to yourself. And if there's, you know, recognize if there's some maybe impulse behind the part of you that's saying, you know, aren't we done? Why do we have to keep doing this? See what's behind that. And is there some kind of, you know, pain or, you know, impatience or something that needs some care? You know, sometimes we do have to say, you know, we're just not there yet. And eventually, you know, eventually we'll be there. But sometimes we do have to, you know, sing ourselves lullabies or, you know, just kind of say, hey, hang in there, baby, Friday's coming. Thank you. Does anyone online like to share anything?
I just have an observation. I like the idea of here you are, where you're. And my problem is, like everyone else, you drift away and so on. But then when you come back, you go, okay, here I am. The tendency is always to try and gain something out of it. And so, no, you're here, but now you need to really be here.
Oh, yeah.
Really be
yeah.
here. And then you start straining to really be here. And you go, well, what's that all about? And trying to let that go can be a real challenge if you're always taught to, there's something that we're going to attain, you know, and just being here is, that can't be it.
It can't be, right? No. The overachiever in all of us, I think, is like, no, we've got to be, you know, fold your sleeve right, or, you know, there's got to be something more that we can do, but... I'm trying to work against that. I'm trying to practice with that today. I've been trying to practice that with putting together the sesshin. It just doesn't have to be this hard. You know, we like I jokingly like to tell people, you know, with Zazen, 100% of success is just showing up. You know, there's that saying that, you know, 90% of success is just showing up. But with this practice, 100% of success is just showing up. And we don't have to keep adding things to it. We don't have to keep optimizing, and it will do us. It will do the practice itself, if we show up and make ourselves available for it, will do what it's going to do with us. And I think maybe that's where having faith in that is, or falls. You know, that we really, we read all these, read and hear, you know, so many things about Zen practice. And we can let that go and maybe have a new experience. Sometimes I think all of the things that we read and hear and study get in our way to really just being here with each other. Here we are. Serena.
Thank you, Nancy. This is really interesting, looking at the instructions for Zazen and hearing discourse on it. And I think that... it's really interesting, this paragraph about the, putting aside the intellectual practice of investigating words or chasing phrases. But I appreciate that, but then I also get a lot of help from words and reframing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, in the simple format of, like, talking about, like, how we're discussing these different angles of, like, the backward step and how we do that. Like, one thing that I have realized lately, it's really simple, is willingness. Just like,
yeah,
I'm willing to be here now. Like, I'm just willing. And then remembering, like, a time when I didn't have a will, like a very young age, when I could not remember having a will at all, like remembering not having a will and being willing to be right here, right now here, is an interesting thing, and it definitely is connected to reframing with words, and it helps me because it's so simple, like. And if I think about, like, I'm willing to be here, to be now here, it just
you know, cleans the blackboard for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really like words. And that one is helping me a lot lately.
Thank you for this wonderful reminder, because in giving a talk, saying anything for me can make me tend to focus on it like that's the one thing you have to do. And it's not just one thing. And you're such a great reminder of that, because we do need words. We need both our own practice and maybe some guidance. You know, whether that guidance comes from a physical person teacher that you're working with, or whether it comes from a text that you're working with, or something else. You know, even, you know, an animal that you're close to who's teaching you some things. And so there's so many different ways to work with it, but you're also pointing out another really important thing, which is that we all come from different places and different backgrounds and different experiences, and we're all born, even from the moment we're born, we have different qualities. I'm a childless cat lady, but but friends who have children tell me that, you know, each one was born with a different temperament, and, you know, and that's absolutely wonderful and how it should be. So to think that there's only one way to relate to ourselves or only one way to practice, I hope I didn't imply that to anyone, because I really do struggle with it. And it's hard to give a talk where you're kind of stepping outside of, you know, your own practice and how you relate to yourself. So you are a great example of someone relating to something differently or needing to relate to something differently.
I have a word of the week.
What's your word of the week?
Willing.
Willing.
It'll work for a while. You may need another word.
There is definitely an element of willingness to being here. It's not all, you know, champagne and roses. It's hard, you know. It's hard to sit still all day, or even for one period. I don't remember that as experientially as I did when I first started practicing, and it felt like, you know, the longest 30 minutes of my life. But it's hard, and we're putting in an effort, and we're not always willing to make that effort. But I'm so glad that you were willing to make that effort today to enrich my practice and my talk. Okay, Sue.
Just one more comment about inside outside. So Tom opened the window, I think, during Kenya maybe, and I felt the breeze, you know, and I thought, oh, are we outside or inside? You know, we have the rain, we have these beautiful linden trees, and although, I mean, I love sitting in nature as well, but I'm like, actually, we are sitting in nature. It's just an idea of, you know, maybe it's a little more comfortable because we're not getting rained on, and I guess Buddha and the monks probably ran inside when it rained too much. But
they practiced during the rainy season.
But I thought it was interesting that, you know, even though the idea of the sesshin was like, we really want to do an outdoor sesshin, you know, and then it was like, well, maybe we'll hack it and sit in the backyard, and now we're sitting in a house, but it still feels like,
yeah,
just fine.
Yeah, and
not separate.
No, and the open windows here really, really help with that. And it's a reminder that we're sitting with all beings too. I think we heard, you know, maybe some people walk by walking their dogs, talking about something, and they're here with us. You know, everything is here with us. Trina.
And you were hearing cardinals and other birds.
Yeah. So nature is right here. Actually, the air is here, which I always forget. But
it's right here between all of us and inside all of us. We're kind of taking in the air all the time and expelling some other kind of air. And so we're always a part of nature. We're always a part of the environment. And my hope today is that we can just sit and see other ways, you know, maybe on an even deeper level, that we are part of everything. We talk about it intellectually, but we can feel it also. We can experience it. I think we're right down to the end of our time. Is there any last thought, comment, observation? I want to thank you all for being here today, and thank you all for being online. And hope that you really have a wonderful practice day, whether it's on your cushion or off your cushion or wherever you are. Your awareness will follow you, and maybe you'll remember to look for it today, wherever the day may take you. So thank you. I think we have announcements.
We'll do the vows.
We
had announcements.
Okay.
That's been happening.
Okay.
And for those who've joined us in the Zendo today, there won't be tea or work period because we're in sashimi. So kind of say goodbye after announcements, or unless you want to hang out and sit some more. Great to see you, Kyle.
Really great meeting you.
Yes, thank you for coming.
That was really lovely.
Okay. We'll start with our theme song.
Things are numberless. We vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's ways unsurpassable. We vow to realize it. Beings are numberless. We vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We vow to realize it. Beings are numberless. We vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We vow to realize it.